ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। योक्षमनुक्षणम् मुक्तस्थानेष्वपत्येष्वपि अहेतु वेदचिन्तयत्।
Because of an increase of affection, the cows had constant attachment, even to those calves that were grown up and had stopped sucking milk from their mothers. When Baladev saw this attachment, he was unable to understand the reason for it, and thus he began to consider as follows, purport by His Divine Grace, Śrīla Esi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The cows had younger calves who had started sucking milk from their mothers, and some of the cows had newly given birth. But now, because of love, the cows enthusiastically show their affection for the older calves, which had left off milking. The calves were grown up, but still the mothers wanted to feed them. Therefore, Balaram was a little surprised, and he wanted to inquire from Krishna about the reason for their behavior. The mothers were actually more anxious to feed the older calves, although the new calves were present, because the older calves were expansions of Krishna. These surprising events were taking place by the manipulation of Yoga Maya. There are two Mayas working under the direction of Krishna: Mahamaya, the energy of the material world, and Yoga Maya, the energy of the spiritual world. These uncommon events were taking place because of the influence of Yoga Maya. From the very day on which Brahma stole the calves and boys, Yoga Maya acted in such a way that the residents of Vrindavan, including even Lord Balaram, could not understand how Yoga Maya was working and causing such uncommon things to happen. But as Yoga Maya gradually acted, Balaram in particular was able to understand what was happening, and therefore he inquired from Krishna.
Om Agyan Timidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chaksuru Militam Jena Tasmoy Sri Guru Namaha Vanshakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavani Vyo Vaishnavi Vyo Namo Namaha Ajanulam Vita Bhujo Kanakata Vato Sankirtanai Kapitaro Kamalaya Taksho Vishwambaro Dvijabaro Jugadharma Palo Vande Jagat Priyakaro Karuna Vataro Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Because of an increase of affection, the cows had constant attachment, even to those calves that were grown up and had stopped sucking milk from their mothers. When Baladev saw this attachment, he was unable to understand the reason for it, and thus he began to consider as follows. We are about to read in the next several verses something so wonderful. Try to imagine that Srila Veda Vyasa is giving us an entrance into understanding the very intimate thoughts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita, we read of Krishna's words. Here in the Bhagavatam, we are about to read of the personal, confidential, silent thinking of the Supreme Absolute Truth. And very unique, because we are about to read how the Lord, in his intimate process of thought, is in a state of bewilderment, a state where he does not understand why things are happening the way they are. He's actually in a state of confusion. Now, how is this possible? Krishna explains in the Gita, Mayadyakshena prakriti sujate sacharacharam hetu nani dukonte jagadvi paribharatate. He says that this whole material nature is working under my direction. Daivi hesha gunamai mama mayaduratyaya. This means that the divine energy of the Lord is my energy, always under my control. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matya sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam bhuta bhava samanvita. That both the material and the spiritual worlds are emanating from Krishna. They are all completely under the control of Krishna. He is the master of all the divine energies, parashya shaktir vividaiva shruyate, all the various energies, both material and spiritual, in all their categories, are directly or indirectly being controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And here we find Sri Balaramji, who is none other than Krishna. In fact, Srila Prabhupada would tell us that Balaramji and Krishna are identical. The only difference between Balaram and Krishna is that Krishna has the beautiful complexion of a newly formed monsoon rain cloud, and Balaramji has the beautiful complexion of a newly formed spring rain cloud. One is bluish and one is pure white. Other than that, there is no difference, even in their bodily features. Krishna expands himself simply for the sake of loving pastimes. So how is it possible that the supreme knower of everything, the knower of past, present, future, the knower of every living entity, not a blade of grass can move without the sanction of the Lord? How is it that this supreme Lord, for one full year, could never understood what was happening? Balaramji, after Brahma stole the calves and the cowherd boys, Balaramji, who happened to not be there on that day because it was Balaram's birthday, otherwise Balaram would have been stolen too. But you don't read when Krishna went looking for the cowherd boys on that very, very eventful day. You don't read anything about Balaramji. The reason is because it was his birthday, Mother Yashoda wanted to keep him home to give him all gifts and give him nice abhishek and all nice offerings. So Balaram wasn't there. When Krishna came home with all of his friends and all of his calves, Balaram was also there to greet them with all the other Vrijvasis. And then the next day, every single day for the next year, Balaram was out herding the calves, directly, personally. How he herded the calves, with such love, with such personal intimacy. Krishna, Balaramji, and the cowherd boys, they had such love for these calves. They would play with them, they would wash them, they would bring them for drinking water, they would pet them, caress them. So many offerings and exchanges of love. And with his friends, for one full year, every day, they were playing together, they were wrestling together, they were joking together, they embracing together, singing together. And this whole year, Balaramji, who is the all-knowing Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all cause, the source of all material and spiritual existence, he never even suspected that they weren't really his friends, that they weren't really his calves. They were all expansions directly of Krishna. How are we to understand this? Would anyone like to explain? Shrigalim. Shrigalim, is he somewhere? Adivo. This is what it takes to get him to come out of his cave. Can you explain for us? Please, this is a wonderful answer. Yogamaya is very powerful. But actually, we can understand that it is simply lila. It is simply the pastime of the Lord. He is never under any influence. But if he desires to be under influence, he becomes completely under the influence. Yogamaya is an expansion of Srimati Radharani. Is this correct? Radharani is the source of all divine energy. And even Krishna is eternally under the control of Radharani. Correct? In Braj Lila, the love of Krishna, which is the energy of Krishna, Krishna's love is bhakti, his energy, his highest, purest energy is that of pure bhakti, which in its absolute completeness is personified in Sri Radharani. And we read how Krishna is Madan Mohan, or Madan Mohan Mohini, that is Radharani. That means she is always attracting the mind of Krishna. By her love, she always keeps Krishna subdued under her control. How is that possible? Radha and Krishna are the same person, expanded for the sake of pastimes. But in this divine lila of love, the love conquers the beloved. Not because of strength, like a material sense of conquering, but because the lover finds the greatest enjoyment, finds the greatest pleasure by accepting the position willingly of being bewildered and being subordinate and being controlled by the beloved. Huh? So therefore, although Balaramji is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is the Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead, because he's in the role of a servant of Krishna. Therefore, for the sake of giving pleasure to Krishna, he is willing to subordinate himself to his own power, to his own energy. He's willing to be actually confused. It's not that he's pretending. He's actually confused, but not because some power has overcome him, but because out of pure love in the service of Krishna, to just make his pastimes that much more exciting. As you can imagine, Krishna, when he was every calf and every cowherd boy, he was the only one in all of existence that knew what was happening. he completely spellbound all the Brijbasis. And Balaram did not want to be the exception. He wanted for Krishna to have this supreme pleasure of bewildering everybody, even him. Therefore, out of love and service to the Supreme Lord, he agrees willfully out of love to come under the subordination of his own energy, his own bewildering energy. So these are the pastimes of love of Vrindavan. And we read, even in Srimad Bhagavatam, who was at Shalva, Krishna was, I think, fighting with Shalva, and Shalva wanted to somehow or other make Krishna disheartened so he could defeat him in battle. So he created, by his mystic illusory power, he created a false image of Vasudeva that looked identical to Vasudeva. And he brought him before Krishna and said, "Your father is here." And then right in front of Krishna, he cut off Vasudeva's head. And Krishna began to lament, "Oh, my father is dead." And everyone was thinking, "Oh no, he's disheartened." But then he realized that this is all an illusion. So how is it that Krishna momentarily appears to fall under the influence of a demon? Simply for the pleasure of his devotees, to make his pastimes more exciting. Huh? We also find so many demons when they fight the Lord. All of the power of Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, it's all God's Mahamaya energy that is giving them whatever strength they have. It's all Krishna's energy. How is it that at times during the battle, Hiranyaksha appeared that he was going to defeat Varahadev? How is it possible? Simply for the pleasure of his devotees. The Lord comes to this world for one reason only. Just to perform such wonderful, incredible pastimes of love that they capture the mind, capture the attention of all the devotees. Although we know Krishna is going to win, everyone knows the end of the story before it begins, but still, Krishna is so incredible that he stages his leela in such a way that he makes it so suspenseful that at a certain point, you forget that you know who's going to win. And you're thinking, "Oh my God, who's going to win?" Right? If you read the Bhagavatam, we find this. For instance, we're giving the example of Lord Varahadeva when he's fighting with Hiranyaksha. The demigods, they all know he's Vishnu. He's the supreme all-powerful. He's eternal. He's immortal. He's the source of everything. He's the master of everyone. And yet when they see Hiranyaksha has become getting the upper hand, they become worried like anything. And they pray to Varahadeva, "Please kill him now, because in a few minutes the sun's going to set, and after it becomes dark, the demons get more power. And if he gets more power, we don't know what will happen to you." But they know he's going to win. But Krishna's so expert, even though they know, he makes the fight so exciting that they get so caught up in the leela that they forget that he's going to win. And they start thinking, maybe he'll lose. And this only increases their attachment to him, increases the intensity. After all, if you just know everything's going to happen, there's not much intensity in that, right? It's like I'm sure none of you go to cinemas so much, but you know, if somebody says, "There's a good cinema, let me tell you about it," you say, "No, don't tell me the end." Because if you know the end, there's no use going. Everything's ruined if somebody tells you the end, right? So don't tell me the end. We already know the end of all Krishna's leelas. He's going to win when he's fighting the demons. But Krishna makes it so incredibly exciting. He's a supreme dramatic performer.
performing for the pleasure of his devotees, to attract all the minds of his devotees. That during this performance, we get so caught up in the drama, in love for Krishna, that we become afraid. Ah, Krishna's in danger. Of course, the Brijvasis, they're so completely covered over by Yogamaya for the sake of increasing their love that Krishna really never gives them the understanding that he's God. Even after Krishna killed Trinavarta, that horrible whirlwind demon, the residents of Vrindavan, they were thinking it was due to their previous pious activities that God saved their little baby Krishna. Even though they saw what he did right before their eyes. And before that, they saw him kill Putana. How is it possible? Krishna, just for the sake of preserving the intimacy of love, he does not give them that understanding. And these are his eternal associates. And he even does that to himself. This is the supremely loved the Lord. After all, Krishna is unlimited and Krishna can do anything. So one may ask, if Krishna can do anything, can he bewilder himself? Huh? If Krishna cannot bewilder himself, that means he can't do everything. But here we see that Krishna can even bewilder himself, literally. But the difference between Krishna's bewilderment and the difference between our bewilderment is we are bound by illusion, and Krishna, by his own sweet free will, accepts his own bewilderment. This is the infinite, unlimited existence of God. And this is why we understand Krishna is the complete whole. If there was anything Krishna could not do, he would not be the complete whole. So really, in this beautiful chapter we're reading, just such a wonderful exhibition of the supreme power, the supreme opulence of God, how he can do absolutely anything. In this chapter, he's completely defeating all of these mundane logicians who ask all these questions, word jugglery questions. If Krishna can do anything, can he put himself in illusion? Huh? If Krishna can do anything, can he not know something? If he cannot not know something, that means there's something he can't do. Do you understand? How many times do philosophers ask these crazy questions, Greg? They ask these questions, just trying to jungle the mind in such a way to say God is not perfect and complete. But Krishna is so perfect and complete. He can forget. But his forgetfulness is based on complete knowledge of everything that exists. Everything is included within Krishna's personality. All of the qualities of this world that we are drudging through trying to become Krishna conscious, Krishna has all those qualities, all those attributes, but they are all perfect. They are all built upon the foundation of pure love. And that is really what we call lila. Lila means pastimes, means they're divine. And they're all wonderful. And this is the supreme goal of the bhaktas, to enter into this loving lila of the Lord. It is the most complete, the most perfect manifestation of God's grace. It is the ultimate realization of the absolute truth. To enter into the almighty, all-pervasive Brahman is perfect. But it is incomplete, because there are so many limitations within the Brahman. There's no limitation as far as Sat as far as eternality. But there's so many things you cannot do when you're in the impersonal Brahman. You can't play with somebody. You can't dance with somebody, right? And even God in that manifestation, there's so many things he doesn't do, he can't do. So therefore Paramatma is within everyone, everywhere. But he's localized, he's situated, he's the witness. And even in the various incarnations, Narayan, there is the Supreme Personality of Godhead reciprocating in his divine, eternal, transcendental form with his devotees, which is perfect. But still, when we talk about the complete whole, we're speaking about unlimited, infinite. There's nothing he cannot do. Narayan is never bewildered by his own potencies. Huh? But Krishna in Vrindavan is the supreme, perfect, complete manifestation of the Absolute Truth, because absolutely everything goes on in Vrindavan. Huh? But it is all perfect. It is all the exhibition of Leela, which is all based on the premise of the highest loving exchanges for the pleasure of one another. Therefore, this is how we understand that the supreme goal of the bhaktas is simply to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. Janma karma chame divyam evam yobeti tatvata tyakla deham punara janma naiti mameti surajana. One who understands the transcendental nature of the appearance and activities of the Lord never has to take birth in this material world again, Krishna says, but attains my supreme abode. So by hearing these wonderful pastimes from the proper sources, from the purports of the bona fide spiritual masters, we can really and truly awaken our attraction for the Leela of the Lord. We cannot understand in full, but we can understand in principle. And Krishna says, the more we understand, the more we realize we cannot understand. But in this process, our love develops. Our love awakens more and more and more and more and more. This is the beauty of Krishna. Wonderful Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ultimate source of all pleasure. And how does he manifest his pleasure? Through his divine pastimes, his pastimes of love. So here, Balaram and Krishna, the same one person. Balaram is about to ask Krishna, what's happening? I don't understand. The older calves have no desire to drink milk from their mother, and the mother has no desire to give milk to them. The younger calves are present. In the phenomenal world, it's an impossibility. It's never been seen before where the mother is attracted to giving milk to the older calf when the younger one is present. It's just an impossibility. It's against the nature of a cow. So Balaram is witnessing this and he's saying, Krishna, I don't understand. How is this happening? This is Krishna's Leela. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions? This is the Krishna we want to surrender everything to. We don't care for anyone else. Yes? Both. If he didn't actually understand, it wouldn't be a Leela. You think God does things mechanically? It would be boring for him if he just did things mechanically. The love of Radharani is so great that Krishna, out of love for her, willingly puts him in himself in a situation where he cannot understand the power of her love and what it is about himself that attracts her. And the happiness, the joy she derives upon seeing him. He's the reservoir of all pleasure, Sri Ram. And yet he sees she's experiencing more pleasure than him. If he wanted to understand, he could. Because he is Radharani. But for the sake of Leela, he doesn't want to understand. It increases the sweetness of the love. Therefore, he wants to understand in another way. What I'm saying, he wants to understand. That's why he comes with Lord Chaitanya. But when he willingly puts himself by his own desire in a state where he cannot understand, so that he appears as Lord Chaitanya to understand. And that's why we consider that Lord Chaitanya is the supreme most of all avatars. Because it is that form, the only time where Krishna can understand the sweetness of the love of Radha is in the incarnation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Does that answer your question? Is there any other questions? They celebrated when they came back. But you see, through the day, parents were doing all wonderful preparations to Balaram, giving him special baths and having Brahmins chanting special mantras. You know, the cowherd boys. You know, Hridayananda will tell you, when someone's birthday and Brahmins start chanting all mantras around the child, none of the friends want to be there for that part, right? They come when there's the birthday cake and the dancing and everything, but all the preparatory rituals of the Vedas, which Nanda Maharaj followed, they were more interested in playing with the cows. Oh. The cows. Like that. Yes? Same type of Leela. When Ramchandra, when Lakshman was laying on the ground with the javelin of Indrajit in his chest, and again with the arrow of Ravana in his chest, Lord Rama was weeping, he was crying, "What will happen to my brother? Hanuman, please save us. Bring the mountain." You see, when devotees read this, tears flow from their hearts. More important than tears in our eyes are the tears of our hearts. Just to see such love between the Lord and his devotee, who's actually the Lord himself. Devotees become just so much entrapped in the sweetness of the Leela that their love just grows to such an extent beyond logic and intelligence. Do you know what I mean? The jnanis, when they read the Ramayana, they just very categorically understand what is the Vishnu Tattva and what is the Yogamaya potency, and they explain everything. It's kind of dry. But the bhaktas, they already know all those things. They already know all the categorical understandings of what is Vishnu Tattva, what is Maya Tattva, what is Yoga Maya. But they become so much immersed in the ocean of the sweetness of the Leela that they just forget all these things and weep. That if Hanuman doesn't get back on time, Lakshman will die, and Ram will not be able to survive if Lakshman dies. Huh? This is the power of bhakti. Is there any other questions? Thank you very much.